This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.
Conversation 1. Self-fulfilling prophecies. Stories that I tell myself.
Let's talk about stories.
Oh, beautiful.
About stories that we tell ourselves. I remember a story from my youth very well. At school, I was quite good at math. That's why many teachers and my parents said to me, "Since you're good at math, you must be bad at sports and languages, because you're either good at one or the other." But never in both disciplines at the same time. I actually believed that and made that into my own story. So I was the one who studied physics, even theoretical physics, because I didn't need to be good at sports, and it was enough to speak English. Other languages were not required. At some point, I eventually realized that I'm quite good at languages, and once I found the right sport for me, that I'm quite good at sports, too. In other words, I told myself a story about myself that influenced my life very much and wasn't right at all. The story was not true.
How do I know if a story is true?
It is true when I believe it to be true.
Ah, right.
It was like that in my case. If I constantly tell myself, "Wow, I'm so bad at sports," then it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If, on the other hand, I say to myself, "Hey, I'm good at languages. I just haven't learned enough in the last few years," then maybe I can really step on the gas and become fluent in multiple languages.
That brings to mind the concept of self-limiting beliefs or self-limiting decisions. This is the decision that creates such a limitation in our lives. It means that at an earlier point in your life, perhaps even unconsciously, you actively chose not to be so good at languages or sports.
Yes, because there are children who are good at languages, children who are good at sports, and those who are good at math. It's part of history that there are only these categories. So it's either or. I'm either good at one or the other. Now I know that I can be as good as I want to be at anything.
You know what comes to my mind? The definition of OR and XOR from computer science. OR allows for multiple items in a set of items being tested to be true. XOR is exclusive, meaning that only one item in a set of items being tested may be true. If multiple items in the set are true, the condition fails.
So I'm either good at sports and in languages, XOR at math.
Well, that's not necessarily so bad. How did you deal with it? How has that expressed itself in your life?
It actually expressed itself quite well. I studied physics and theoretical physics because this was as far away from languages and sports as I could get. I was convinced of that. I believed that. It was quite exhausting at times because I couldn't shake the feeling. And I would think to myself, "Hey, there's something else in me that I would like to try, something that appeals to me."
What happened then?
Then I distanced myself more and more from pure mathematics and pure physics and sought more intensive contact with people and language. I've been doing a lot more sports, and I really enjoy it.
That means you made a different decision at some point. You made the decision to not let this earlier childhood belief stop you.
Right. I started to tell myself a different story about myself, namely the story that I can create everything I want.
Yeah, very cool. There you were again at cause, at the origin, and not in the effect. You were not a victim, you were a creator.
That's the way it is. It is probably relatively well known that people tell themselves stories, isn't it?
Sure, I've got a few of those.
Why don't you tell us a story that you've told yourself?
I like to tell myself the story that I can't sing well.
Oh?
Yes. I was always the boy in the choir who played the piano, so I never sang. That became my story. I can't sing. Instead, I can play the piano.
Yes, because you can either play piano or sing.
Exactly. It had manifested itself in me. I didn't get much feedback on my singing for 4 years. Then I made a decision. I said to myself, Michael, you can sing well. I started to get more involved with my singing. I thought about what I had to do to become a good singer. I'm not going to say that I've arrived. I've started to do some things differently, and I've gotten more into it. At some point, I actually got positive feedback. Someone said to me in astonishment, you can sing really well. Move your mind and your body will follow. That's how it really was with me. It took some time and I still haven't reached my goal, but I have become much better. I have dissolved this limiting belief system I had. It only took 20 years. But what the heck? These are all nice examples about us. In your case, the analytical, like mathematics and physics versus languages and sports. With me, the piano competed against singing. So what does that mean for me as a boss? How can I take advantage of that?
Now, even as a boss, I can figure out what stories I'm telling myself about myself. You, for example, started telling yourself the story, I can't sing well. The feedback you got from others might have strengthened that. You also didn't know why people had given you less positive feedback before. Maybe it wasn't because of you, but because of the others, or because the listeners also had the limiting belief that Michael can either play the piano well or sing well.
Am I at cause or at effect? At cause means I take the world as it is. So I take the feedback of others as it is and think about what I do with it, what I radiate, and how I behave. That would be the conclusion of cause and effect. I am at cause of everything that happens in my life. That means that I am also at cause of my ability to sing well. I am also at cause of being a good boss. I am at cause of being able to lead well. Even though it may take a little more practice, I can and I want to. I am at cause and make the decision to be a good boss. This is a decision that I can make as a boss. I am a good boss.
Okay, let's take a closer look. The first decision's about wanting to be the boss in the first place. I know many entrepreneurs who say to themselves, we're all a team and we're all at eye level. I don't want to be the boss at all, because then things are demanded of me that I do not want to do, things that do not fit into my story of myself.
Yes, I know that from myself in the past and from some of my clients.
The second decision is to be a good boss. When am I a good boss?
Good question.
I'm a good boss when I achieve results and retain my employees.
I knew you were going to say that.
Did I ever mention that before?
That's your famous saying inspired by Peter Drucker. The task of management and leadership is to achieve results and retain employees.
So when I decide to be a good boss, I decide to get results and to achieve them in such a way that makes employees happy to stay with me.
And now back to our current topic, the stories I tell myself. I have these stories going on all the time. My auditory digital channel, my inner voice, is something that I experience very acutely. I actually talk to myself a lot. Please don't tell anyone.
What do you hear? What happens there?
I hear many voices. No, actually, they're not voices, not different voices. It's just my inner voice that often criticizes me. It's like a constant subtext for everything that happens, like a subtitle, a separate monologue that goes something like this. You could have done better, or I guess it didn't work out so well. There's a lot of criticism in my head. It's not good. It's exhausting. That's why I've learned how to change my inner voice's tune, to make it positive and actively encourage and support myself. I've learned to affirm myself, that is, to confirm and strengthen myself through my inner voice. I still practice this. Some years ago, I learned that everything starts with the inner voice. The root of evil is in my head. It is that inner voice that is causing me to choose to feel down from time to time. All the crap I often tell myself with my inner voice. Since realizing that, I'm getting ahead much faster in life. If I talk myself into it and confirm to myself that I can and will learn, it is much easier to do so. Of course, I can do some things even better, although every now and then I still get angry with myself when I am not doing something so well. I really feel how I am more and more relaxed with myself over time and accept myself as I am. When I make mistakes, I give myself the positive assurance that I can do even better. Leading myself. This is exactly what this first chapter is about.
Okay, so I say to myself that I want to be a good boss, but I'm not a good boss, at least not yet. Not according to my criteria. The voice in my head still says, you can still get better, you can still work on this. One approach would be to pretend that I'm already a good boss. Fake it till you make it.
I love it.
Just say, I'm a good boss, and that's why I do this or that now. Let's see what happens. Then I'll get feedback. And no matter how this feedback turns out, I've already made the decision to tell myself this story about myself. Because I am the cause, I tell myself this story about myself. I am a good boss, and I believe in it. Then I will learn the tools that will help me to become what I believe in, because I am attentive and open to improvement.
There's something else that fascinates me. Let's say that I now make the decision to be a good boss. I also know now that I can be an even better boss, even better than good, which I already am. That means I can learn, develop, and improve my boss skills even further. How do I do that now?
I direct my attention and my senses exactly to being a good boss and to what happens around me. I observe and find out who is a good boss. How does a good boss behave? I continuously tinker with my story, taking certain parts out while adding new parts in. A good boss has weekly meetings with all employees or with each employee individually. A good boss has team meetings, perhaps incorporating a daily huddle. In this way, I let my story develop piece by piece. It's easy for me because I know that I want to tell this story.
What's the best way to start this journey? After I have made the decision, I am a good boss and I will continue to develop myself in order to be a good boss later on, how can I approach this development? Let's assume that I want to consciously develop as a boss.
People who say to themselves in front of the mirror 20 times every morning, I'm a good boss, that would be one approach.
Okay, are there any other methods? I'm thinking of something like 360-degree tools, for example. I mean, where people give each other feedback and then the whole thing is analyzed. Or the one-on-one conversation. I could simply ask my employees, tell me, how do you see me as a boss? What do I do well as a boss and what can I do even better? What other similar methods are there? It took me a long time to become aware of my strengths. My weaknesses were clear to me relatively quickly. It took me longer to realize which strengths I have. So how can I accelerate this?
To find your own strengths?
Yes.
I once participated in a seminar where each of us wrote down 50 things we were really good at.
Cool.
The next day, we continued with 50 things that we enjoyed. When we compared the two lists, we saw that everyone is often really good at the things they enjoy.
That's clever.
That has directed my focus to the things that I'm really good at. I suddenly had a much more positive mindset. Instead of constantly looking at what I'm not so good at, what I'm doing wrong, I suddenly became aware of what I'm really good at, 50 things that I have been successful with so far and that I can stick with.
Do I have to be able to do everything well as a boss? That's a rhetorical question, of course. I'm still curious about your answer.
As a conductor, do I have to master every instrument?
Good answer. I'll remember that.
Of course, it helps to have some idea. As a conductor, it can't hurt to know how a bassoon or an oboe works or to be able to estimate what a violin can play. In order to really master each instrument, I need to have professionals on my team.
That means that, in my role as a boss, I don't need to be able to play every instrument that I might need.
Maybe that's true. A conductor is the master of the baton.
Okay, I see. There are also different specialists among conductors. One is good at conducting Wagner, the other is known for Beethoven.
3/4 time or 4/4 time.
Applied to the boss thing, for example, I think I'm more the snappy type. I like to get ahead quickly. Sometimes it gets me into trouble. I'm not necessarily the super sensitive type. As a boss, do I have to master the whole range of behavior patterns? Does that help me?
A certain flexibility in behavior definitely helps. I've also learned a lot about this in the last few years. For example, I've learned a lot about your red energy and how to handle it during our collaboration. As you said, sometimes we clash. At times I wonder, what's wrong with him now? Where has the harmony suddenly gone?
Yes, exactly. We'll talk more about colors and energies later.
I've learned to deal with it. I'm getting better every time. In those moments, I also tell myself the story, I'm good at being flexible.
Ultimate behavioral flexibility. I learned this expression once in a seminar. My first thought was, what is this bullshit? Another buzzword? Ultimate behavioral flexibility. Now it's becoming increasingly clear to me what that means. To internalize this is damn helpful in a leadership role. It means being able to adapt to other people in a flexible way and to radiate this to the outside world. As a manager, it is important to understand what each and every one of my employees need so that we can all work well together and ultimately achieve our goals and results. It can be very stressful for me, because it also means sometimes being or behaving differently than I normally would. It means eliminating carelessness. On the other hand, some things are also easier for me because of it. This whole empathy thing used to be very difficult for me. Now I can do it better. A nice story we told each other today.
And that was just a story. Most likely, there are thousands of other stories we're telling ourselves, not even including those around us.
Yes, that's true. There are 7.7 billion people in the world, and each one of them has their very own story in their head.
The realization of being the cause of everything that happens in my life feels to me like a liberation, a bit like Pippi Longstocking. If what you say is true, and I have this power over myself to be able to do anything I want to be able to do, and all I have to do is tell myself the right story about myself, it sounds like music to my ears. I make the world as I like it. At the same time, I also feel an insane weight on my shoulders, checking if all the stories in my head, all the words and sayings of my inner voice are really true, could be exhausting. If everything I thought I knew until now is not true, it is just a story I took over from my childhood, from my parents or my teachers, does this mean that I have to make a new decision about everything I think and do? I may always question everything I think and do myself. Do I want this or do I not want this?
This is Chief of Anything, created by Christian Kohlhoff and Michael Portz. Our podcasts serve the purpose of growing people skills for great success, excellent business results, and a happy, healthy people culture.
If this podcast is useful for you, please give us a 5-star rating and tell your friends. We love to hear from you, and we are always happy to learn how we can help teams achieve great success or overcome people pains. All contact details are in the show notes. Much success.